Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are myself, Garrett Wong, and of course, my co-host, Robert Duncan McNeil. And remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a Patreon patron at patreon.com/thedeltaflyers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hello there, Garrett. How are you today?
Well, I'm okay, Robbie. Is it snowy in your neck of the woods?
The temperature right now is like right on the border. So it was kind of flurries this morning. Now it's kind of wet, but I think it's going to get cold tonight. We're going to have a couple days of a bunch of snow, which will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pretty when it's snowing up here.
It is. It is. It's pretty well covered here in Calgary, and it is currently snowing as I talk right now to you. I can look out of the window from my to my right, and I can see it's not really a whiteout, but it definitely looks it's coming down pretty heavy. So
well, it's funny because I can look behind you and I see the windows outside, and it looks like stars. It doesn't look like it's snowing at all.
Yeah, no. That's you know what I
in
forgot.
The ready
I'm not
room
in
background that you
I'm
have.
In the Delta Quadrant. What am I thinking? Yes, in the captain's ready room. And what do you have behind you? What
is your background? I have an image I found online, which I just thought was cool. It was like kind of a close-up of, I think, the bridge from the outside.
Right.
So it's kind of a tighter shot of the ship with dramatic kind of sunset lighting.
And oh, okay.
I just thought it was cool. It looks like it was when we landed the ship on that planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it may be from that episode.
Okay.
But it's cool.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who are listening to our free version, or those of you who are Patreon patrons at the Ensign level, just so you know, if you move to Lieutenant level, you get to see all our wonderful backgrounds behind us that we
all the things we describe. To look at like the JC Shipper t-shirt I wore last time
that you talked about
things
in the
like
last
that.
Episode. Yeah, I have my standard Delta Flyers crew member shirt on. What t-shirt
Beautiful.
Are you wearing underneath that jacket? Are you
I'm not wearing this is a company called Indestructible. It's kind of like a motorcycle wear.
I thought you were about to say I'm not wearing any t-shirt, and then you would unzip and you would just show me your hairy chest.
You didn't do that. My chest is not as hairy these days as it was when we did Voyager, clearly, because there were a couple of episodes you commented on it where you were like, you have hair coming out over your collar there.
Well, it was high.
I know.
When you were a young man, it came up so high. Your
what the
hairline
heck was going
was,
on.
It's sort of like high tide and low tide. It was high tide when you were young, and now it's low tide.
It's all moved to my face. it migrated to your chin and your
mustache area.
Yeah.
Okay. So would you say that it begins mid? No, it's definitely close to your neck still, right?
I mean, my chest hairs.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't feel like anything's changed there. I don't know why it just looked that way on some episodes. My face has changed a lot. I mean, nobody recognizes me these days.
That's true.
From Star Trek, zero.
Even people you work with. I know that you've told me there's been coworkers that after working with you for X amount of days, months, they go, wait a minute. You were on Voyager like that, right? They do that to you.
Yeah.
And you're like,
Because they don't recognize me from how I look because I always wear a baseball cap.
Yeah.
You have glasses especially
on.
When I'm working. I wear glasses now. I wasn't wearing glasses during Voyager. I didn't start wearing glasses till my mid 40s. We have these things called sides.
Yeah.
So when you're filming, they'll print out a very small version of the pages of the script that you're filming that day. And they call them sides. Mm-hmm. And you take those sides and fold them up, stick them in your pocket so you can refer to it throughout the day.
Yep.
But I found because they were shrunk a little smaller, like half size, that I was reading the sides and then I was moving them a little further and a little further and a little further until my arm got to the end And but those little sides, I was like, I can't read. I could not get far enough away.
Wow.
To read them. And then I was like, I got readers, magnifier, yeah. You know, just drugstore readers.
Right.
And that worked for a while. But then I was like,
just get the dang prescription.
I just gotta,
yeah. You're farsighted then, I'm guessing.
I don't understand the terms. Okay,
so nearsighted is this. If you're holding those little sides, you have to bring them closer and closer and closer to be able to see them without glasses. And pushing them further and further away means you're farsighted. So
I guess so. I do have a prescription. My glasses are progressives, right? So the top half is one prescription for distance, which is not a big prescription. And then my reading portion on the bottom of these glasses is a much stronger.
So they're bifocals then.
Yeah. These are bifocals basically. Okay.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no one recognizes you with that going on. So.
And the big beard, which I'm working on, I'm really trying to get it. I got some nice beard wax today. I'm back in the beard, back in the beard game for real. I'm going to go long with it. We'll see how long we go.
Back in the beard game. My goodness. Yeah. Oh, if I could only grow up what you have, I'd be happy. But I can't even come close to that. It's just such a joke. It really is. It's so scraggly. But, you know, this is what I was born into.
The thing about beards, Garrett, the thing about beards is you got to start and try. And it takes practice. Because my first beard was all splotchy. And then
was it?
I just had to keep. I feel like once you let it grow and then you let it grow a while and then you shave it and you let it go a while again, it starts kind of filling itself in. Maybe that's maybe that's my imagination. Probably.
I think you might be right, but I think that's probably not for Asian people though.
Maybe not.
I'm going to say right now, you just,
that technique will not work.
I saw one guy in my entire life that had a full beard like yours, and that was Asian. And I actually stopped him. This is a total stranger. I stopped him. I go, sir, may I take a photo of your beard? And he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, you do understand. That's the fullest beard on an Asian person that I've ever seen. I said, are you 100% Asian? He goes, yeah. I said, is everyone in your family like that? He goes, no. I'm the only person who has this. I said,
like some recessive gene.
Yeah, I go, where is this from? I go, this is like a Viking beard. It was just, it was so full. And
sounds awesome.
And I was so jealous. And I thought, I thought, boy, if I could grow that out like that. Yeah.
Someday. It's never too late to try new things, Garrett.
Maybe when I grow up, Robbie. When I grow up, I'll try it.
When you grow up.
This week's episode, are you ready to go watch this?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
What is the name of it?
It's called Unforgettable.
Oh, yeah. That's
yes.
Right.
Do you remember you sang?
I sang at the end of last week.
Because I asked you to sing. Because I always love to hear you sing.
I couldn't remember
voice.
That song. So I went after our podcast last time.
Did you look
put
it up?
On Spotify.
Oh.
To play it. Because I was, and I was like, I was all off with my words and my tune. A little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So can you do the whole first one now?
Maybe we'll get there.
All right, we'll see. All right. Okay, let's go watch this episode and we will be right back with our recap and discussion of Unforgettable. For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Hey everyone, we are back from watching Unforgettable
in every way.
Okay,
nice.
We should add singing to every episode.
We really
mostly
should.
Mostly you, but you know, I'll direct.
No,
you.
Let's do it. We'll do duets. It'll be great.
Okay, that'll be fun. All right. Well, let us start as we normally do, and I'm going to begin with my haiku of Unforgettable. Okay. Here we go.
Poetry time.
Poetry time. It is
ready.
Okay. My haiku for Unforgettable. Mystery woman returns to rekindle love. Kerneth spoils the day.
That's good.
Damn Kerneth. Damn you, Kerneth.
Damn him.
Ooh. All right, let's hear that limerick.
All right, here we go. There's a beautiful haiku, by the way.
Thank you, sir. And
anytime you can get a Kerneth in a haiku, it's a major accomplishment.
Yes. So,
excellent.
All right.
Okay, here we go with our limerick.
I can't wait.
For Unforgettable. Chakotay was in love, but then he forgot. Kellan tells the story of how she got caught. She came back for him. Things start to look grim. Then she forgets. And that's the plot.
Good job. It's usually after your second verse of the limerick that I have to squelch a laugh that is coming up from the depths of my soul. I sit there and I go, don't laugh, don't ruin it. And I always
laugh. Limericks are fun. Limericks are fun poetry.
Yes. And you're a fun guy. So compared with the fun poetry makes extra fun is what it is.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Let's jump right into this.
Okay. So Unforgettable, the script is written by Greg Elliott and Michael Perricone. Perricone?
Is it Perricone or is it Perricone?
I don't know. I was going to ask you, do you know these writers? These were outside writers.
No, I don't know either of these gentlemen. Greg Elliott, Michael Perricone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
Don't know him.
And I had no clue that this was the second Andrew Robinson directed episode. I don't remember.
Fever.
I know, but I wasn't there for that one. Remember, that was my exile. For me, I thought I never worked with Andrew, and then bing, here he is again. And I love Andrew Robinson.
I do too. He's really awesome. He was so good with actors.
Oh my gosh. Not only is he good with actors, but he's just a great person, period.
Yeah,
to talk to. He's such a wonderful person to have a conversation with. And he's just so easygoing. You know, he's just one of those dudes you want to hang out with and have a beer with, period.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he did a great job. Our guest stars, I was right. Virginia Madsen.
You were right.
I can't believe it.
You called it.
Virginia Madsen was in this playing Kellen. Now, a lot of people know who she is, but just for those that don't, Virginia Madsen was born in Chicago, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And she is best known for her Academy Award and Golden Globe nominated role in Sideways, the movie Sideways, which is one of my favorite films of all time. I love the movie Sideways.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did like that film, but I would not say that is what I would consider her best known role.
Oh, really?
For me, when I first saw her work was the original Dune.
Yeah, she was in the original
Dune. She plays the young princess in that. And when she showed up on set, I was, a little nervous around her. I was like, oh my gosh, there she is. And my memory is a little, faulty because I thought I had zero scenes with this actress, with Virginia, but I did have a scene with her.
Yeah,
in Astrometrics with Seven of Nine. So that was my scene. I had no recollection of that.
What else I know about Virginia Madsen, I always like to go back and see what their very first job was.
Oh yeah, what was it?
So Virginia Madsen's very first job that I could find was a movie called Class.
Class.
You know this movie, Class, 1983.
Give me other people that are in this film.
Some of the people in it are
huge.
Andrew McCarthy.
Yes, Rob Lowe.
Jacqueline Bisset.
Yes.
John Cusack.
Yes,
Alan Ruck.
Yes.
It's a private school, kind of one of those 80s teen comedies where I think Andrew McCarthy goes to some fancy private school. He ends up off on a night on the town, meets this older woman. Spends the night with her, turns out to be his best friend in private school's mom.
Right.
So
that's right.
It was happens all the time.
Yeah.
Right. It's just
that scenario always happens. Right?
Classic 80s film, but Class was her very first job. She was one of the private school students.
Okay.
One of the kids there with Rob Lowe and John Cusack and the whole gang. So,
What about Michael?
Michael Canavan. As Kerneth, who was in your haiku.
They could have just used his last name as his alien name.
Canavan.
Canavan. How dare you use that neurolytic emitter, Canavan.
Kerneth. Exactly.
Almost. All right, tell me about Canavan.
Michael is from Portsmouth, Virginia. That's where he was born.
Okay.
His very first job that I could find, he's done a ton of work.
Yeah.
I think Virginia Madsen's done like 150 roles or something in shows.
At least, yes.
And I think Michael's also done like 50 TV shows and movies and things.
Yeah.
His very first job was in the TV series Dallas.
Oh my
that
goodness.
I could find. Now he may have, there's a little conflict. He may have done a TV movie called Born to be Sold with Linda Carter around the same time. So not sure whether Dallas or the classic TV movie Born to be Sold with Linda Carter was the first job.
Okay. So Michael Canavan has been around for a long time is what we're saying. Then.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
So we had some veterans on this
episode. We did. We had some vets.
So we get into the story. First scene opens on the bridge with a nice long opening shot.
It's and you and me.
Harry with a monologue.
Yeah.
You have this rambling technobabble monologue, which was all to set up Chakotay's joke of
you just give me the skinny, right? Get to the point, right?
Get to the point.
Who else can ramble with technobabble other than Harry, right? Harry's the one that rambles. Were you impressed with the technobabble there?
I was very impressed with it. You were rattling it off. It was really good. The three of us standing there. Yeah. And a different kind of shot up on the bridge to open it up.
Yep.
And then Paris. And then at the end, basically Harry says, you know, we've been collecting deuterium and our you know, scanners are full. You know, I may be able to recalibrate things and get, but basically we got a full tank right now.
Yeah.
I'm
kind of saying, I'm not sure if it's completely full or not because of the modifications she made. And I just need to realign my sensors with Sevens. And then of course you come up with your little line
working with Seven.
You're going to realign your sensors with Sevens. Sounds like fun is what you did.
Yeah, Paris teases him. That was funny. Made me laugh.
You did.
There's a little ship shake, and then we're like, what's that?
Yeah.
We get these proton surges. We don't see any ships out there. We don't know what's going on. Mm-mm. We're hit with proton particle charges. Mm-hmm. We realize ultimately that there's two cloaked ships, and we're caught in a battle between these two cloaked ships. We're caught in the middle.
Yeah. Janeway enters from her ready room, and she's asked Seven to scan from Astrometric to see what we can do. And Seven says, hey, it's two cloaked ships engaged in battle. Mm-hmm. One ship explodes and we temporarily see the remaining ship for a few seconds and then it recloaks.
Disappears.
Again. Yeah. But then we hear this voice.
We hear a voice.
Chakotay, I need your help. Help me, Obi-Wan. It was a very, you know,
very like serious. Intimate kind of like she, you knew like immediately. You,
yeah.
That, how does she know his name?
How does she know his name?
And it sounds personal.
It sounds very personal.
And you could see, as a JC shipper myself,
yes,
I could see Janeway's expression when she heard that voice and she looked over.
She wasn't happy.
she was jealous already. Oh, yeah. It was on.
Oh,
and then the credits come on. And by the way, I noticed Virginia Madsen's credit. It said special guest appearance by Virginia Madsen.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about that? Talk about that for a second.
Well, you know, usually in these credits, you know, the credits are pretty standard. It's either, you know, guest star or it doesn't even have it'll just have your name.
Right.
It's called the opening titles. And so you get a single card with your name, meaning your name alone on the screen for a second, and then it goes away.
Correct.
And that's usually all that's there. Yeah. But in this situation, because she had a lot of credits and she was a known actress, they gave her a much more highlighted credit there with her name, special guest appearance. So that's unusual. We didn't usually do that.
I also find that at least back in the 90s, that sometimes when agents are negotiating the deal for their client, sometimes, you know, the production company really doesn't have as much money as the agent would want their client to be paid. And so in return, the production company will say, okay, we can't pay her or him what you want, but we will give you this extra special title card. And it's kind of like a, you know, it's just a way of making
an acknowledgement that the actor
is at this extra high level or has more of veteran status. Right.
Yeah.
So that you'll see that every now and then.
Yeah.
So yeah, but at least on Voyager, you don't normally see that at all.
No,
it's guest very star. Unusual. It's very unusual.
Yeah. So we detect a life sign over there. We try to beam her aboard. Captain says beam her to sickbay, but we can't. We can't beam her over.
Harry can't get a lock on her because every time he locks onto her, the lock dissipates. It stops, which is very strange.
Yeah. So Chakotay goes over there to try to rescue her, and he takes Tuvok and Paris with him.
Hey,
I made the away team. I know. After
unlike last episode.
Yeah.
And you weren't even asked to be a field medic on this away team.
No, so that's no, like, I got to be just a regular away team.
Regular away team dude. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So they beam over there, beam onto the ship. And I got to say, when we beam onto that ship, it looked good. Like the wreckage and everything, yeah. The lighting.
Yeah.
You even saw the view screen of that alien ship with mm-hmm. the bridge. Mm-hmm. It looked big. The amount of scenes on yeah. the ship, which wasn't very much, it felt like they really, created a big set. Maybe there were some visual effects involved, but it looked cool.
It looked cool, but my only issue was it looked like it had been damaged for centuries. You know, there wasn't any current new. Like I would have added some sparks. Like this is recent damage, not damage that has been there. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, moments ago. It was from the battle. She was just in.
There has to be some smoking embers or something to show that this just happened. But it really looked like this had been on for 10 years that this damage had happened. Right. So that's
we learn later they've been chasing her for a while. She's been trying to get away.
Yeah, so
maybe
true.
A lot of that damage has happened earlier, but I agree with you. It looked like it was a dead at sea ship that has been out there for months.
What did we just witness 5 minutes ago? A firefight between these two, right? Yeah, there has to be some residual damage that would tell the audience this just happened, right? So that's my only criticism of that. Other than that, it looked amazing.
But it looked cool. Did. Yeah. Sometimes you go for cool over logical.
Mm-hmm.
At least I do sometimes when I'm directing. It's like, you know what? This may not make logical sense, but it just looks cool. I'm going to go with that.
It did.
You know?
Agreed.
And also I noticed Andy Robinson was shooting this all handheld on this ship, which reminded me that Andy Robinson really liked handheld. He liked the quality and the way that worked with the actors.
Well, maybe so as an actor. Marvin, our DP, loved handheld as well. And he would grab that camera himself. He would he'd tell the camera operator, "Nep, I'm putting that on my shoulders." So he would do it himself.
But they search around and Chakotay pretty quickly hears her. She's alive under some debris. And he says, "I'm going to get this off of you." And as soon as I lift it up, you know, scoot right out of there, roll right out of there quickly. He's going to do it with his brute strength.
And how big is that ship? Because clearly Tom and Tuvok are off in another part of the ship far away that they can't help. So it's like, what? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So she rolls out.
And she's hurt. She's hurt pretty bad. He sees her, goes to her, and she sort of passes out and they beam right out. He's going to get her back to the ship.
I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
How did they beam her out?
I don't know. That's the thing.
They can't lock onto her. How do they beam
maybe,
her?
Is it because if
Chakotay's touching her, does that mean that the beam out can happen because he's right next to her touching
they
her?
They couldn't get a lock on her
you
before.
Can't get a lock
so it's
on her.
It's got to be from him.
Okay, it has to be from him. But that was my quick little like,
Wait a minute. Yeah, I had that thought, but I was thinking, because he's right there with his comm badge, they can get a lock on him and he's touching her. And
all right, I'll buy that.
So we go to sick bay and the doctor's scanning her and he said the readings won't stay in the database.
Yeah. Which everything is strange.
Disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I loved his line. He says, "Luckily I'm a master of visual diagnosis. She has a minor concussion and a compound tibular fracture." Luckily he's a master of visual diagnosis. Yeah. The doctor he's so
know-it-all cool. He's a know-it-all just like seven
just
and
like
the doctor
seven. Totally
he's the computer know-it-all. So when she regains consciousness and she starts talking, she you have that image of she sees the doctor, then he kind of fades out, then she sees Chakotay, fades out, then she sees Janeway, and then she pleads to Janeway, she asks for asylum. Now the minute she starts speaking, who did that voice remind you of?
It reminded me of the actress that was on Unity, the other Chakotay falling in love with an alien episode.
I did not make that connection.
Totally.
What I wrote in my notes was, she sounds like Jennifer Lean Kes.
Oh, maybe because she had the ears.
The ears looked like Ocompan ears, definitely.
A little bit like Ocompan ears.
If you listen to it,
soft sort of.
She has that sort of breathy, resonant voice that Kes has, but it's a little bit more mature sounding than Jennifer. But I definitely heard Jennifer Lean's voice. You heard funny. The actress from Unity, which I didn't.
Well, because it was another Chakotay falling in love with an alien episode. Okay. And I'm like, oh, it sounds like the same thing he falls in love with. By the way, the ears on Virginia Madsen, yeah. I did a little research after we watched. Yeah. And I guess they had originally thought of another makeup for this alien. But when Virginia Madsen was cast,
yeah,
they were like, we're not going to cover up Virginia Madsen's face.
Oh, like, so this...
We're okay. bringing Virginia Madsen on. We want to see Virginia Madsen's face. So then they decided, Michael Westmore said, well, let's go with the ear thing. You know, we've done a lot of faces recently anyway. So,
well, yeah, because if you think about it, the last few episodes, they've kind of been on this theme of cover everything up. Beauty yeah, and the
noses,
beast,
the ones, heads.
Steph has the multiple nostrils on the top nostrils. Of his forehead, whatever. So they probably were thinking they were in that mode of like, yeah, let's do the complete prosthetic. And yeah. then they realized it was... The great Virginia Madsen. Yeah, they're like, said, nope. Nah, we're going to show her face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, there was some shots in the sick bay of her point of view looking up at Janeway and the doctor standing yes. over her.
Yeah.
And they were sort of upside down. It was an angle that is a little artsy for us. Like, we don't mm-hmm. normally do those kinds of, you know, mm-hmm. Straight POVs looking up with the actor upside down in the frame right. and things like right. that. So I thought that was cool for it Andy cool. Robinson's. To do something a little different and a little more experimental for
Agreed.
Us. Agreed. Yeah, but she wants asylum. And Janeway tells Chakotay to stay and find out, how does this woman know you? And again, I felt a little of the JC, like Janeway going, Chakotay, what's up here? What have you not told me? There's definitely some vibes. Some vibes for sure.
Yeah. I do like Janeway's no-nonsense hair in this episode. It's become yeah. shorter and less coiffed and just sort yeah. of just there. It's yeah. ready to do action. You know, it's just ready to...
She's ready to for
be
work.
A captain.
Janeway leaves. Chakotay goes back over to the bed and the doctor gives Chakotay an update that, you know, he's healed her a broken leg and mm-hmm. she just needs to rest and she'll mm-hmm. be fine. Yeah. And it was an awkward moment because the yeah. doctor's talking and Chakotay's just staring down
right
her off camera. I was like, and then the doctor sort of pauses. He's like, okay. Well,
I guess I'll go calibrate some sensors over here.
Yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
But it was weird. I'm like, he was staring off camera. And then when they finally showed Kellen down there, her eyes were closed. I was like, oh, thank God that he right. wasn't just like staring
at her with her eyes open.
Thank God her eyes were closed.
But she's completely conscious, right? Because that's when she goes, is he gone yet?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness.
And then they talk and mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the time where she explains. Yeah, she explains yeah. She explains everything to the beginnings of what she needs to explain to Chakotay happens here. She says yep. the memories of my people cannot be held in the minds of other races or other species. Mm-hmm. The people that they encounter, and it's rare that they encounter other species, but when they do, the other species will remember them for a few hours, but then the memories slowly fade away to the point where a day later you completely forget that you've come yep. across this species yep. of aliens. And they mm-hmm. say she then tells Chakotay that the reason that this is happening is because their bodies produce a type of pheromone which blocks mm-hmm. the long-term memory engrams of others, and this basically contributes to the fact that they are impervious to tricorder scans, transporter locks, you name it. It doesn't work on them. Which,
yep.
you know, it's a really interesting concept because yeah. I haven't really seen this so far, you
no.
know, in Star Trek. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Like, these guys can't even be scanned.
Yeah.
You can't even, any information that you get off of them won't even stick in it. They're like a non-stick grease pan, you know, is what it yeah. is. Nothing yeah. sticks to it, which is amazing. I thought it was
yeah, nice I thought concept. It was a very cool concept. Mm-hmm. The idea that some alien could be impervious
yep.
to all technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She does tell him in the scene, she said about a month ago that she was here and they spent several weeks together, she See, says.
Herein lies the problem. Let's do just some simple math here. About a month ago, that's 4 weeks ago. About 4 weeks ago, and then I spent several weeks here.
I know.
So that means you... How was and that possible?
Later on in the Astrometric, she does say, look at your
navigational logs.
Navigational
yeah.
logs.
Yeah.
you know, look, this proves we were together for a couple of weeks. So in that scene,
so then she changes it. It's a couple of weeks.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But anyway, it does seem legit that she seems convinced that they did, you know each other. And she says at the end of the scene, she said, I came back because I fell in love with you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
What the heck?
The shoe drops. What is happening?
Yeah.
Oh, every JC shipper, they just, their heart fell into their stomach. I know. They're like, oh, I don't feel good.
Yeah. We go to the briefing room from here.
Mm-hmm.
Chakotay explains what she has said.
Yes.
That she comes from Remora.
Remora.
And it's a very closed society. Yeah. And she wants out of that closed society.
Mm-hmm.
But Chakotay's not sure. He's very suspicious. He wants to verify her story.
Mm-hmm.
And she also told him that there was a computer virus planted on the ship the last time she was here.
Mm-hmm.
And that would erase all evidence that she was around.
She's a tracer, which is a bounty hunter, a type of bounty hunter that tracks down people who try to leave Remora, and that she had tracked a runaway Remoran that was hiding on Voyager. And Chakotay's still very suspicious.
He's very skeptical.
He just says, look, he assigns everybody a job. Go check out this alien story, if this is even making any sense.
Yep.
So off we go to Astrometrics. We have Seven, Tuvok, and Kellen, who is Virginia Madsen's character, and they are now comparing the navigational logs of Kellen's ship with Voyager's navigational logs. And we do see the graphic that, she did come up, the ship did sort of match course with Voyager and then took off. And she says, there you go, that's proof. And Seven's immediately like, well, you could have falsified the navigational logs.
Mm-hmm.
And Kellen jumps back with, run a diagnostic on my logs and you'll find that they have not been altered. And of course, both Tuvok and Seven they're very, they're eyeing her with a sideways glance. They're thinking, we will check that, but it just doesn't seem plausible because nobody remembers any of this, right?
Yeah.
Commander Chakotay's face seemed to flush.
Well, Chakotay came in while they're doing this.
Oh, that's right.
And he invites her to the mess hall. And, and so they head off
to
the mess hall to get some food and chat up some more. He's going to do some investigating. And then as soon as they leave, Seven says Chakotay blushed when he saw her.
Yeah.
And Tuvok's not interested in gossiping. He's like, I didn't notice. I don't care. I'm not going to gossip about this.
See, that's why Seven and Harry were meant to be together, because even Seven is starting to do a little gossip action here. And that's Harry's game. Harry knows everything was going on the ship.
Okay. So we go to the mess hall.
Yeah.
And Neelix hands him some food and he explains all these great, delicious foods that he's prepared.
Carrots, pudding, you name it. It's all on that little plate.
Mm-hmm. Basically, they sit down to have a meal and she's going to tell Chakotay the story. And she says that she was in love with him, but he was in love with her too. So this is new.
Yeah, that's news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now it's not just that she met him before and she was in love. he fell in love too.
Right.
And she tells the story of what happened, that she was on the ship for 2 days undetected.
Yeah.
She was a bounty hunter trying to find, you know, track down a tracer, trying to track down someone who had left their
home world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then her cloak malfunctions. We have a flashback scene in cargo bay too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kellen is hunting for the runaway, and it's her cloak sort of just fritzes off, and that's when the intruder alarm goes off. She's still kind of looking for the runaway, and then Chakotay shows up right behind her, and he's trained his phaser on her, and she turns around.
They got a standoff. They're both standing there.
A little John Woo standoff here. Mm-hmm.
And he says, ultimately, he says, she tells him the truth.
Yeah.
And he says, if you drop your weapon and explain what's going on, I'll listen.
Right.
And I just made a note. Chakotay is such a good listener. he's like, if you just stop pointing your gun at me, I'll listen to you. Because I'm a sensitive guy. Just in that moment, I'll listen. It was like sensitive. They're in love. No matter what, even when they've got guns.
Would he have said that if it wasn't Virginia Madsen?
I don't think so.
If this person was Steph or someone from prior...
I don't think
he would have listened. Okay.
No. And we pop back in the mess hall. She's continuing to talk.
Yeah.
She said that she felt an attraction immediately, even when they had their guns pointed.
Yeah.
Which I saw it too. I'm watching
it.
It was there. She asked, did he feel it? Did he feel that too? And he basically says, you know, just skip to the end.
Well, he shuts her down. He just shuts her down. He says, you know, I have no memory of meeting you. And I certainly have no memory of feeling anything for you. And that's when she's a little hurt. She gets up off the table and she kind of goes over to the window and looks out at the stars. And, you know, I mean, that to hear someone say, as far as I'm concerned, it never existed. It didn't exist. Nothing ever happened between us is hurtful. Yep. And I just love that line where he feels a little bad. He says, look, is there anything I can do for you? And she says, can I have your pudding? Which was like, great. I love
they're both very flirty
lines.
In that moment.
Flirty and witty.
Starfield looking out of the stars.
Yeah.
Can I have your pudding? Yeah.
And when, you know, so he says, can I have your pudding? And he responds with gladly. And when I was watching this, Megan was like, oh, is that secret talk for can I have your pudding?
Is that a
euphemistic way of saying that? Yes.
But the ship rocks suddenly and she falls into his arms.
Yes.
And
a little moment there.
And then it rocks again. She falls again into his arms.
Yeah. Every JC shipper was like, no,
no, no, no, don't do it.
Don't fall.
But she realizes the tracers have found her.
Yes.
They've come for her because she's run away. Now she's the one that's being chased.
Right.
So we cut up to the bridge.
Yep.
And it appears that there are two cloaked shooters. And their shots are going right through our shields.
Yeah, we're getting damaged. Yeah.
We are getting damaged. We can't see them. Mm-hmm. We can't find them. And their weapons are going right through our shields. So we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And she offers to modify our deflectors.
Yeah.
And Janeway agrees and lets her go back to a panel and start modifying our deflectors.
Actually, our sensors, just to correct
sensors,
you.
Sorry about
that. Yeah, modify our sensors to help us detect the two cloaked ships. Yeah.
While she's doing that, Janeway asks Chakotay, so what do we do? Do we give her up to these people that are chasing her, or do we fire back and protect her? Chakotay ponders for a moment and he says, protect her.
Yeah.
Fire back.
Yeah. So Tuvok is ordered to fire on their weapon systems and boom, they run away like roaches when the lights turned on. Yeah. They're like, see ya. They're gone.
You know, Janeway asks her, like, we need to decide about this asylum thing. Do you really want to stay here? And she says, yes, I want to stay. And she wants access. She offers if she can have access to the astrometric processors, she can make the modifications that helped us in that short battle. She can make those permanent.
Right.
Janeway agrees. And
off
Kellen goes to modify the astrometric processors.
Which are not in astrometrics. They're in engineering for some reason.
And they're not even really in engineering.
They're in another deck off of engineering.
Yeah, we see them walk past engineering or into engineering, but they go onto a side hallway where they have a very intimate conversation.
Yes.
And Chakotay now is getting very flirty and she's
very flirty.
And at the end of the scene where they're talking, he's finally starting to come around to maybe what she's saying is true. Mm-hmm. And she says, before they head off to do their work, she goes, you know, sometime you might be interested in hearing about our last night together. I was like, ew.
You tease. Ew. You. Oh my goodness.
Sometimes yeah. I liked a lot of this love story, but sometimes it got a little like, let me tell you about things. It just got a little creepy. Just got a little awkward and creepy. I don't know.
Oh my goodness. We leave this scene and we go to the mess hall. It's after hours. Chakotay shows up. Neelix is there. Chakotay asks for some tea blend from Neelix, and he starts confiding in Neelix as if Neelix is his local bartender. Yeah. And he says, you know, that he basically tells Neelix that he doesn't trust her. And Neelix suggests that, maybe it's yourself that you don't trust, your own
maybe
feelings.
Maybe you're projecting.
Yes, that you're afraid of. Yes, yeah. There's some type of projection going on. Yeah. Who knew Neelix was our local, you know, he's become the counselor in a way.
He's our counselor.
Right? Our ship's counselor. Okay.
We go to Chakotay's quarters from here, mm-hmm. and Kellan's there. She comes in, you know, ding, ding, dong.
Yep.
And she's at his quarters, and she can't sleep either.
Yeah.
And she's come because she really has to know, does he believe her?
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, she's not sure. Maybe she should go back if he doesn't believe her.
Yeah. She cuts to the chase. She says, if you feel nothing for me, I will leave. And during end of that speech, that close up on her.
Yeah.
Megan said to me, look at her face. And I was like, yeah. She's like, look, who do you see? And I said, Virginia Madsen. She goes, Gillian Anderson from X-Files. Oh, I go, yes, it is the same face. It's very, very interesting thing that she pulled out there. I had no clue. I did not make that connection whatsoever.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. But she does say, I'll go back. And he thinks about it. And then he says, no, don't go.
Don't go. And again, JC Shipper's died a little bit.
Dying a little. This whole episode. Yeah. I'm a JC Shipper and I was dying.
So there's a bit of a time jump, right? So
we come back after a break or after commercial back in the day. Come back and they're still there. And the scene starts with them sort of laughing.
Yeah, she's eating ice cream. Loves ice cream.
I made a note, Garrett. Do you remember those scenes where, you know, we'd have to start the scene with a group of people laughing and it'd be like, okay, and action.
It's so unnatural.
It's so unnatural. And I felt that I just something about their laugh. I was like, oh, that's one of those like, okay, and action.
That is probably one of the most difficult things for an actor to be present and to portray in a realistic light, you know, is to come up with this laughter that's been going on forever. And let's look at the reality of the situation. Typically, you just come in from your trailer. There might have been lighting for an hour and a half. You're still groggy from the nap you've taken in your trailer. And then you sit down there like, remember, you guys are having the time of your life and you're supposed to be laughing. Action.
Everybody does the awkward laugh.
Oh, so awkward.
That's how this scene started. Anyway, she's having ice cream for the first time.
Right.
She's worried that these tracers are not going to give up. Mm-hmm. And Chakotay then goes, so you said you were going to tell me about our last night together. And she goes, let me show you. And she said that. I was like, no, I don't want to see it.
The funny thing is when he goes, so you're going to tell me about your last night together. As I'm watching it, I jokingly pretended to be her voice and go, let me show you. And then she said then that she for said real. It. I'm like, oh my God, she said exactly the line that I came up with. So that
was so uncomfortable when she said, let me show you.
Right.
Then she goes over and she says, I was sitting here. You were sitting there and we were drinking something bubbly, she says, something with bubbles. And he goes, so
champagne.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she said she had caught her fugitive because of his idea. Was it
he was using a magneton sweep to disrupt his polarization cloak, which is very smart of Chakotay to come up with that.
Clever guy. Mm-hmm. And handsome and romantic.
And romantic. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. In this scene, we then have another flashback to the transporter room, how they tricked Reskit. Now, this guy's name is Reskit, which then reminded me of the pilot episode where you have Kes on the Ocampan homeworld.
Right.
And do you remember the scene? Like, basically, it's her and another accompanist, and he's using his telepathic abilities to sort of speak to her without moving his mouth. Right?
Yeah.
And she says, "Tosk it, stop. They don't have the ability to speak, whatever." And I was like, wait a minute, that Reskit name sounds so accompanist. It's so close to Tosket, Reskit, mm-hmm. Tosket. So there's a lot of kind of, parallels.
Crossovers.
Little parallels with the accompanist race here. Mm-hmm. So then they use the neuroletic emitter on the runaway to wipe out his memories of the outside world. And then Reskit is happy to go back home.
Is revealed. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we go back into Chakotay's quarters again, out of the flashback. Then he's like, well, what happened next? And then she awkwardly starts talking her way. This is the narration part that makes me, like, if she had just gotten up and gone over and kissed him,
but
she said, she's like, I got up and I walked over here and then I leaned in like this. And then I was so close to you. And then it was like all the narration, cut the narration, just have her do it.
See, I would film a funny version of that where she's like, and then my hair fell into my eyes and I blew it out of my face. And then that's when I leaned towards you.
The detail, it was just awkward. But anyway, they kissed.
To be honest, I was okay. I was okay with the detail. Okay. It didn't bother me. But then they kiss. That's right. The big smooch happens.
And then she's like, that's what happened. And then they kiss again. So, he's all in now. You know he's there.
JC shippers are crying at this moment. It's unfair. How dare this woman, ruin the mm-hmm. JC connection.
I agree. Mm-hmm. This was mm-hmm. a very sad moment.
Yeah.
So then we cut out to the hallway and Chakotay and Tuvok are walking down. And Chakotay's like, captain thinks she needs a job. She needs, something to do. She's going to stay on the ship.
Yeah.
Tuvok says, well, what is she good at? And Chakotay says, well, she was a security operative for her people, trained expert in weapon surveillance, great piloting skills.
Yeah.
And then Tuvok goes, well, Mr. Neelix could use an assistant in the mess hall. And Chakotay's like, that was funny. Tuvok,
you made you have a sense of humor.
Yeah. He's like, don't deny it. You have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
It was very funny. A little Vulcan humor.
But then
it continues.
It continues. Yeah, it then Tuvok is like, it's perfectly logical. All the qualities you mentioned would help in defending Neelix against the periodic wrath of the crew. And I was like, oh my God, Tuvok is hilarious.
I know.
He needs his own stand-up comedy show after this. My goodness.
Yes, he does.
Hmm.
I also noticed in this scene, they were walking down the hall and then they stopped.
Yeah, they stopped
for a minute.
That's right.
And then they walk some more and then they stop again. And I thought, that's because their hallway set is kind of short.
Yeah, they are running out of space. Yeah,
they're running out of room. That's why they stopped.
Yeah. We jump to Astrometrics. It's Kim, Seven, and Kellen. They're devising a strategy to protect against the Remoran proton weapons. And this was the end of the corridor scene where Chakotay and Tuvok are discussing how do we protect against these proton weapons. And so now the suggestion is that Kellen could possibly devise a strategy with Kim and Seven. And Harry is the one. Harry is the Doogie Howser in this scene where he comes up with the idea. And the trick is to scatter the proton beams just a little bit, make it harder for them to penetrate the shields. Mm-hmm. And that we can do this by tying the baryon sensors into deflector control. So this is Harry's genius idea, which mm-hmm. Kellen's like, oh yeah, well, that sounds good. And then Harry says, Chakotay said that you should probably join one of the security details. I recommend Beta Squad. They are the best. And I started thinking, oh my gosh, this could be the spin-off series of Voyager right here.
Yeah.
Star Trek Voyager, Beta Squad. Yeah, there you go.
I like it. She does mention Chakotay and then Kellen leaves. And Seven says, I think she her face went flush when you mentioned Chakotay. So again, she's noticing.
Right. She's noticing these things.
Noticing this, but she doesn't understand it.
No.
And so then Harry explains love.
Courtship rituals. Yes.
He starts explaining about dating and courtship. And she's just like, why? This is a waste of time. Why not just procreate?
Yeah,
just
she's like, isn't the outcome the same whether you have this, this little courtship dance or not? And Harry's like, yeah, it's the same. She's well, then it's irrelevant. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It was very funny. It was a very funny scene. The two of you were very funny.
Yeah. I liked
it. I laughed.
Did you chuckle? Did you LOL?
I did. Okay, I laughed good. Out loud.
Oh,
So next we go to the hallway again. Walking down the hall, Kellen's headed back towards Chakotay's quarters, I think. But
yeah,
stopping, kind of looking. She's sensing something. And then
sensing, but it almost at times it looked like she was being suspicious. It was like, yeah. Wait a minute, are you up to something? You know, I don't know.
But she wasn't in the end. It was that she was sensing something, and as soon as the door opened and she saw the broken vase,
yeah,
she's sure that this is a tracer.
Yeah, because she leaves her quarters to go to Chakotay's quarters.
Oh, that's what it is,
right?
Yeah. She saw the broken vase in her quarters,
yeah,
and then we jump to Chakotay's quarters, mm-hmm, and she's telling him about the broken vase and her feeling she's getting. She's just, she knows that they don't give up, that they mm-hmm would send somebody here, and he's got to be on the ship mm-hmm cloaked.
And then Chakotay says, you know what? We'll do the same thing. We'll do the same thing we did to Reskit. And we're going to go ahead and Magneton sweep this guy out of here, and we'll fix it. And that's when Kurnith appears.
He appears and shoots her with a weird pizza cutter tool. I don't know what that was.
Okay. The pizza cutter tool was funny, but more funny was, why didn't Chakotay just tackle Kurnith the minute he saw him
draw a weapon?
Hello.
Yeah. It took a long time. Took a long time.
Long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He shoots her with the weird gun.
Neurolytic emitter.
Like, yeah. The neurolytic emitter, which looks like a pizza cutter.
Yeah.
And she collapses. And he basically says she's going to start forgetting everything now.
Yeah. Sad.
Really, so we cut to sick bay, and there she is. It's sad. She is forgetting.
Yeah.
And she says to Chakotay, please don't let me forget. Don't you forget. When this happens to me, tell me all about us. Like, remind me
that you will tell me why I'm here. You know, why we are together, all of this stuff. Remind me the way that I reminded you, is what she says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she passes out.
Now Chakotay, with a full head of steam, heads right to the brig.
Ooh,
he's so pissed that he actually goes into the brig.
Yes.
Grabs
the guy, and he kind of shakes him with no words. He just grabs him and then he lets him go.
Yeah. He's like,
grab somebody, do something with him.
Yeah.
Toss him or something.
Yeah, it's almost like he felt like, you know, your uniform is kind of wrinkled. Let me straighten it out for you. And then
And then he let him go.
Yeah, I'll let you go.
And then he started talking. Mm-hmm. And he basically says, you know, you got to reverse this.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, even if I knew how to do it, I wouldn't.
I'm not going to tell you. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very frustrated and powerless in this, Chakotay. Mm-hmm. And ultimately Chakotay says, you know, maybe your society isn't so great if people want to leave.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're forcing people to stay underground or stick with you, then maybe it's not so great.
Yeah. And Kurnith shoots back with, oh, so like a couple of people out of a million leaving?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
We're in Kellen's quarters. Chakotay enters into her quarters.
Yeah.
And she doesn't recognize him.
Nope.
She's like, have we met before?
Yeah.
Who are you? Do I know you?
Good job by Virginia Madsen. She's completely blank in this scene.
She does remember about tracers, that the tracers were after, but she's got to go home.
Yeah, she says, I must go home. I must return home. And Chakotay tries. He goes, listen, you told me this was going to happen, and I'm here to remind you of what happened.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about you. We had fallen in love. You came back. We fell in love again.
Yeah.
And now.
And it's crazy because they switched roles here. It's a total switcheroo, because now he's really in love and feels the love and feels their story, and she has no idea.
I do feel that Chakotay didn't honor the promise that she asked of him, because she said to him back in sick bay, do everything that I did to remind me of this. So Chakotay should have said, and then you sat in the chair, and then, then I walked over here, and then I had an itch on the back of my neck, and then I itched it and then kissed you. Like, he didn't do that, but he did.
I couldn't get you out of my mind. And yes, I was in love with you, mm-hmm, and I want you to stay now.
Yeah.
I want you to stay here. Stay with me. And she's like, no, I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
And she does say, I wish we had met under different circumstances.
She also says, you are handsome. You remember that part? She's like, you are a handsome person, but I wish we'd met in different circumstances. But yeah. When Chakotay is leaving, you do see his pain, which I thought, wow, he really played that well. He was hurt, and he's just like, and then it almost like when she says like, when she stops him to say, I wish we'd met in other circumstances, he almost had that look of like, oh, you're coming back to me? Oh, no, you're not. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was sad. It was a really sad moment for
Chakotay. It was sad.
Yeah.
We go to the transporter room after this.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurnut and Kellan are getting ready to leave. Chakotay comes in.
Yeah.
And Kurnut says that he has planted a computer virus.
Just like before.
Mm-hmm. So there won't be any record on the ship of them. Mm-hmm. And they won't remember any of this. None of the crew will.
Yeah.
And he says, I wish you both the best.
Yeah. And I do love that line that Kellan has to Chakotay. She says, you're such a kind person, which is what she had said before. And then she says, I won't forget that, which is hilarious because it's true. She said that before. And then she said it now. Yeah. And she's saying she won't forget that. And that's the one thing that she's not going to forget, that he's kind. And Kellan and Kurnut beam out. And then you see exterior space. Shot of the vessel kind of peeling off away from Voyager, and we have a first officer's personal log, which is very rare. You don't hear Chakotay's personal logs that often, that he feels that maybe it's right that I forget about her, but I don't want to forget about this. And then we now see a scene in the mess hall where Chakotay is using an old-timer's pen or pencil, whatever it was.
Journal. Neelix comes over and says, strange to see you using those primitive writing instruments.
He's
writing in his journal.
I guess the thought process is, if he was to put it in a pad, that even just speaking of these people will get erased. It will stay in the database.
Well, anything in the technology, if they put a virus in the computer,
anything to do with them, it'll wipe it out is what it
means. So it has to be written in a journal, and that won't disappear.
Right.
Neelix feels bad, and Chakotay asks the question, he goes, why didn't it happen again? Like, when I told her, why didn't she remember? And Neelix gives him this advice. He says, you can't analyze love.
I read it? I wrote the whole thing down.
Oh, okay. Good.
Neelix says, it's a great line. Neelix says, Commander, I don't think you can analyze love. It's the greatest mystery of all. No one knows why it happens or doesn't. Love is a chance combination of elements. Any one thing might be enough to keep it from igniting, a mood, glance, remark. And if we could define love, predict it, it would probably lose its power. Yeah. Awesome writing. I love that.
Really, really well written. I love that. The very last shot in the scene, this is the last scene in the episode, but the very last shot is kind of a wide shot pulling back in the mess hall with Chakotay writing in his journal alone. Yeah. And it reminded me, when I was shadowing before I started directing, Jonathan Frakes, one of his pieces of advice he gave me, he said, always make sure that your very last shot of the episode is a pretty shot for the showrunners to have their names come up over, because they'll feel great about themselves and they'll hire you back again. And that was Frakes. And I've actually passed that advice on to people. I'm like, your very last shot, remember, created by the creator of credits come up and the showrunners and you want to have them feel good. So that was one of those shots. I'm like, oh, nicely done, Andrew.
This is so crazy. If you think about it, I mean, you were mentored by Frakes, right? And then you go off on your own career and you end up hiring Frakes. It's like, it's just this sort of amazing know what? You did this for me. Let me help you out now. Yeah. So you scratched my back. Now I'm scratching your back. So it's so amazing and cool that happened. So and that's the end of the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, good. What is your theme? Do you have a theme for this episode?
I'm trying to think about it right now, actually, because I'm going to let you go first.
Yeah, I have a theme, and it comes off of Neelix's last line, which is really the theme for me was love is a mystery, and figuring it all out would ruin it. So
Yeah.
Accepting the mystery of love, that it's magic in a way. And you can't, if you defined it or analyzed it or figured it all out, what adds up to love? If you could make it a system,
yeah,
then it would ruin it. So
yeah.
That's my theme.
That's a good one. I'm gonna say that I agree with you on that and leave it at that.
I really liked that episode, actually, and it broke my rule of a good episode. It didn't have everybody kind of deeply involved. It was mostly focused on Chakotay, but for the most part, but it had a lot of heart, and I think Virginia Madsen was great in the episode. I think the story had a lot of heart, and the rest of us had enough to do that. I think it really was good. I would give this. I would give this a 8 out of 10, this episode.
Wow. 7.5,
actually. I take it back.
You just corrected yourself.
I'm going to 7.5 it.
You're going to 7.5 it? Yeah. I'm going to give it a 7. Just a 7. Flat out 7. Okay?
All right.
That's it.
That was really fun. What's next week?
Oh, next week is the episode Living Witness. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Delta Flyers, and join us next week when Robbie and I will recap and discuss Living Witness. And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.
Thanks, everybody.